Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather on this 11th Sunday in Pentecost. I'm glad you're here on this beautiful day. If you're enjoying the cooler weather and not so hot, it's a good time the last couple days. Hope you've been able to get out and enjoy that. If you have received the guest register in your pews, please sign that so we can welcome you if you're a guest with us later this week. We appreciate that. The flowers we have here at the pulpit, as you can see, are in the honor and celebration of Jan and Darlene Knepp Shields' 63rd wedding anniversary, which is tomorrow. So congratulations to them, and you can see it's love from Kelly, Scott, Shelby, Kelsey, Kyle, Elise, Tanner, Jana, Leah, and Cameron. You'll notice we have some guest soloists with us today. You can't see them. Would you stand up, please? These are the Burdettes, Tony and Joy. They're our music talent with Michael today, and so we're glad they're here. And if you're interested, September 3rd is our first choir rehearsal date, so plan on being there if you are. You'll notice we also have a little note in there about Garrett, who's the young man that sings tenor in the choir here. He's in basic training. There's information there about sending him a note or a card. No cookies, no goodies, none of that stuff. And you'll notice in that last little paragraph, it takes 2 weeks to process. But at least we can send him some things and to remind him that we're thinking about him. His mother gave us this information so that we can let him know. He plans on being back to sing with us at Christmas. So if you want to keep in touch with him, that we greatly appreciate that. Following service today is our August Cookies and Lemonade Social. It's going to be downstairs in Fellowship Hall. And today is really a time for you to be able to meet Tony and his wife downstairs and have time to question them and talk with them, and because they're Northern Kentuckians, you'll have more in common with them than you do with me, because I live in Ohio. But please take time to go down and meet and greet with them after service today. This Friday is the Hosea volunteer time. If you're interested, see Pat. If you're not, another one, there's another one coming up. The date there is in October, on Halloween, no less, so you can dress up if you'd like to go and do that. And again, The Chosen is coming up on those Saturdays in September and October. Are there any announcements for the good of the community that I'm not aware of? If not, let us open our minds and our hearts in an attitude that allows God's Spirit to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Please join me in the call of worship. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In the righteousness of liberty, rescue me. Incline your ears to me and save me.
Be to me a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
For you, O Lord, my hope and my trust, my praise is continually on you.
Let us worship our God. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, O God of hosts, in whose hearts we highways to your eternal dominion. A day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere, and you withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. We shall dwell as doorkeepers in your heavenly household, there to give you the honor and glory as it is due your name. With Christ as our hope, O God, we stand at the gates of the sanctuary, seeking your pardon. We confess that we have not worshipped you alone. Life makes its demands, and we push you.
the margins. You are for future moments when our only work is done. Forgive us for our small minds and mistaken priorities. Restore in us the sense of your great greatness and your ultimate claim upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news with grateful hearts, that Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, ushers us into the gates of God's eternal kingdom. And by his own blood, he healed the estrangement between God and us. And his sacrifice offers reconciliation to all who believe. In this Christ, we have assurance that we are forgiven and truly citizens of the heavenly city. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The first gospel reading is from the Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The second reading is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire.
Time measured out my day. life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained, just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, and I know how that would go. The battles I would face, but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to a friend who took my place and ran a course I couldn't even start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, and I know how that would go. Oh, the battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race,
our gospel. You'll notice we're no gospel readings today because I decided I didn't want to preach off of that. So I'm going to be preaching off the Old Testament text, which is from the major prophet, Jeremiah. It's in the first chapter. It's verses 4 through 10. And this is the beginning of Jeremiah's story, and this is his call and commission from God. And so as Jeremiah writes this, he's telling us how this is taking place. So listen as Jeremiah and God have this conversation. And now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord says to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a part of being human that operates on a principle of why do today what you can put off till tomorrow. I'm a real good person of procrastination. I think that's a good thing to do sometimes. But then I think about the pleasant diversions that I sometimes find so I don't have to do that particular difficult task. I think we all probably do that in some way, shape, or form. But when it comes to the faith, the gospel calls us, the God's word calls us, that we need to live life, and it needs to be lived now, in the moment. And to risk the practice of faith is to sort of risk not having its claims laid upon us today. So the reading from Jeremiah today is talking about this risk and call to this to live faith in the now, and it sort of puts it into clear focus. So when I was reading this, what it brought up to me was two long-standing questions involved whenever a call is heard. The first is, why me? And the second is, why them? The call of Jeremiah has this remarkable terms. It says, before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you. There are no unanswered questions at that point. You know, Jeremiah doesn't really have a choice, you know, in this choosing. It seems that God has already decided before he was born. And Jeremiah doesn't question free will like you or I might. But what he says, he goes and responds, I do not know how to speak. That's one piece. For I am only a boy is the second piece. And as I read that the first time, I kept thinking in the catch-22 of the world in which we live in, you know, we always want to hire somebody with years of experience, but no one's to hire newcomers to get the experience. You know, we sort of get that. So Jeremiah is sort of approaching that in a different way. He's just basically, he's saying, I don't know what to do. I'm just a youth. And before Jeremiah can offer any excuses and say, well, here's a list of names and phone numbers and emails that you can reach out to these people as my references and why I shouldn't do this, the debate's closed. You know, it's almost as if God isn't even going to let that happen. But if you go back and reread the text, the driving force here is not Jeremiah's resume. It's not about what he's done. It's about God's call and purpose of what God is trying to do. So the why me question is sort of going to be put off for a little bit. But the question for Jeremiah as he's having this conversation is, why now? And I thought Jeremiah's story can be our story. We hear this faint whispering sometimes that we are to take up our faith's priorities, whether it's something I said to you in a sermon or maybe a conversation with a friend or something that you read somewhere, whether it's, you still get hard copy papers or you read it on the internet. Something you see and hear or read jogs your memory and gives you a little thing of reasons why we might be able to do that, but you know, I can always think that there's someone better to do that job. Always someone better. And why sometime other than the present might be more fitting. We have some stories in Scripture about that as well. But the call continues to persist. It continues to come to us, and you know, and we don't really want to deal with that invitation. And so it becomes a matter of discerning whether we want to dwell on why me, or do we move on to what now? Some of this process is to deal with the situation at hand. So for Jeremiah, he had to overcome the idea of him being too young, of being a youth. Sometimes, I think for us, it sometimes becomes, but we don't feel that we are confident in what we have. I know that the whole time since I've grown up in the church, you know, there are certain responsibilities. I never thought when I started in my life, even when I was in high school in the beginning of my college career, that I would be doing what I do now. That just wasn't the plan. And when I got asked to serve on the church council when I came out of college, it was like, why me? I was like Jeremiah. I'm 21 years old. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm just coming out of college. I have no experience, no nothing. So sometimes we do that. We put it off. We want to try to be humble about it. But the truth is, and I keep telling you all that all the time, each one of us has a gift. We're gifted by God with something to share with others, no matter how small that is, and whatever we do. And it doesn't always have to be in this leadership, like worship leadership role. It could be in anything we need to do in the life of the church. And so we have a calling, though, but it's to live life within the body of Christ. Because Paul writes and says to us, we didn't read it today, but Paul writes and talks about, you know, one body, many parts, one church. But there's a second question that sometimes gets in the way, and that's why them? Now, in the context of the sermon, that's not a question Jeremiah raises, but this is I'm reading between the lines a little bit about what God's doing here. Because God says to him, do not be afraid of them. The people that God's sending Jeremiah to, if you continue to read, are his people. His own people. These are people he knows. And so that's going to be a formidable challenge for him to deal with folks that he knows and knows well. You know, I caught thinking about when Jesus went home to Nazareth, you know, and they kicked him out. I can almost see Jeremiah processing that same thing. Being accepted for who you are sometimes is hard work when people still see you as you were. My story is early 2000s, my home church closed, and a predominance of those people came to join me at St. Peter and St. Paul, where I was pastoring then. And it was after a meeting or a Bible study or something, and there were three families that we were close with. There were the Westermeyers, the Howells, and the Fitches, and Edna Howe had grown up in that church. She was baptized there, confirmed there, married there. Her children were baptized and married there. I married their youngest daughter. And so we're coming up the hallway, and I'm saying, Edna, isn't it hard? All your life you've prayed debts and debtors, and we pray trespasses here in the Lord's Prayer. And she says, no, that wasn't too hard. The problem was that you are Pastor Marty. I was no longer the son of the church. I was no longer that young teenager who had to have suntan oil put on my back when I had sunburn. I was no longer that young man. I was the pastor. And so sometimes we see people in a certain role and we don't see what we can do. And so God unpacks in verse 10 this thing to Jeremiah. He says, the task will not be easy. He says, pluck up and pull down, destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And there's an order of things. And when I look at it in my theology point of view, it's called a deconstruction before construction. That's what's happening. So you have to take things apart before you can rebuild. And part of it is these are not strangers to Jeremiah. These are his neighbors. These are his family. These are people that he's grown up with. And when that group of folks came from my home church to my congregation at St. Peter and St. Paul, I had to struggle with, now these are my parishioners. It wasn't my plan to bury my friend's parents in my career. You know, it is what happens. And so you have to learn, how do you encounter them as pastor? And so that's what God's challenging Jeremiah. How do you reach out to these people? It's not like Jonah when he fled Nineveh because he didn't really like those folk. These are people Jeremiah knows, and he likes some of them. And I think sometimes ministering to people that you know is more difficult than to people that you don't. Because I think when we know people, we want to spare them. We don't want to push them. We don't want to really ask them why about certain things. We don't want to be the one who brings change or disruption to what might be the norm. And God's calling Jeremiah to do just that, to go to these people who he knows and challenge them. That's sort of, you know, when I'm walking with you as this transitional position I'm in, it is, we've done that. We've looked at where you've been, what you're doing, where we would like to go. And sometimes change has to be looked at in a different way. We have one change, you know, Tony and Joy are here. That's a little bit different, you know. I'm here after a couple other pastors. That's different. We do things. Things change. But we have to be a congregation, but we also have to be those individuals within the congregation that are working together for the good of God. And so we keep asking, why me? And those little nudgings, I call them nudgings, keep nigging at me to say, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter how big or small. You can have all kinds of excuses. Why not? We all do that. You know, I've done things as in my career as a pastor within our denomination that I didn't want to do, but nobody else would step up. I'm glad I did it. It gave me experience. Was I happy about it? Nah, not at all. But you have to do things because it was for the good of the community. It was good for the greater good. It was good for the church, for the kingdom of God. And we all have a thing to do. So when we look at each other and we look at the people we would like to have into this congregation, how do we include them? How do we challenge ourselves? How do we look at what we can provide for the building up of the kingdom? We have all kinds of reasons we don't like somebody. I remember when I started at St. Peter and St. Paul, I had a bigger narthex than you've got out here, and we had taken out one of the pews and put it out. We had short pews like these short ones here. They were in the hallway, so we swapped them out, so we had a handicap spot like that. And these ladies would sit in the pew in narthex, and I'd come in my first 6 or 8 months I was there. Are you ever going to shave your beard off, Marty? We don't like a minister with a beard. And I said, well, at that time I was 45, maybe 45 or 50. And I said, I've been married since I was 32, and my wife has never, she never saw me without a beard. You know, I grew it when I was in college. And, you know, but for them that was important. No, you know, you don't worry about how people look or how they dress or where they come from or whether they can sing or not sing. Everybody has skills and talents that we don't know and can bring to the plate. And we have to be open to how God makes that grow the kingdom. So the problem is, Jeremiah says, you shall go to all to whom I send you. So it's not just to those I know and see. Do not be afraid, he says. So we're not alone. And he says at the end, I am with you. God is with us, even when we're challenged to do something we may not really want to do. But God is with us. So what do we do now? That's the question for you and for me as we look to the future of St. John's. May God continue to bless us as we journey, figure out what we need to do, that we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today, it comes from that all may worship. That's a thing from the denomination. I'm going to invite those who are able to stand as we affirm our faith and to stay standing for our hymn. So together we affirm our faith saying, as God's creations, we are fashioned uniquely, each endowed with individuality of body, mind, and spirit, to worship freely the one who has given us life. Each of us has abilities, each seeks fulfillment and wholeness, each of us has disabilities, Each knows isolation and incompleteness, seeking shelter from the vulnerability we all share, claiming our promised place in God's household of faith. We are transformed by invitation, affirmation, and love. In grateful response, we worship and serve God, the source of hope and joy, celebrate and serve one another, rejoicing in our diversity, transform and serve the world until we become a community which reflects God's oneness and peace. Let the house of God be open to all who enter and worship. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? Update, Ralph is doing well. Carol came to worship without him, so he's got to be well. He's staying home by himself. She doesn't have to keep an eye on. She said earlier, though, that he is doing well, so we look forward to the time he can come back. He's where I'd like to be after my surgery. No pain. Yeah, so we're glad that's going well for him. Vicki, any up? Tim, he's back home. You just had a little. It was a test and stuff at the hospital. Okay. I got a text from Sarah, Yvonne Daniels' daughter. She's at Saney Fort Thomas right now. She had a little with a UTI. They had to do some regimen, some rehab to get her back on her feet. She'll probably be home by Tuesday. But just to let her know, that's why she wasn't going to be with us in worship today. As always, we pray for those that are on the prayer list. There's a homebound person that you can send a note to remind them that we're thinking about them this week and all the situations and individuals that are listed there, as well as whatever happens in the current events of the day. I'm going to try to get out of here quickly after worship today. Sorry, Tony, I'm not going to be downstairs. But I've been invited to go to Pilgrim Chapel in Mount Adams. They're celebrating their 135th anniversary of existence in that place. And so John Pullman, my friend and colleague as a pastor there, asked me if I could come over after I leave here. So I'm going to try to get over there as quick as I can to remember. So there are other churches that are celebrating special events as well. So let's continue to remember all these in our prayers and our thoughts as we come before God this day. So as we come before God, let us center ourselves down. As we do that, I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it out. And breathe in, God. And breathe out. And breathe in. And breathe out. And breathe in. And breathe out.
breathe in, God. Breathe out. Almighty and holy God, we have gathered together here in this place on this day to slow down, to take a stop. You see us in the week where we're busy and we run after happiness, we run after success, we run after gain, we run after position, we run after those things that we need to take care of. But to hear you, we need to slow down to a walk and maybe even stop to allow that spirit to move among us. You cause us to take pause and be here together on this one day to look at life the way you want us to look at life, through your eyes. And so hopefully in worship we are reminded through the music and through my words and through scripture that each day is a precious gift. Each minute could be fragile. That the hours that we share can be holy. So we don't get caught up in the passing scene. We come here to recharge, oh God, and sometimes to release from the past week, but we pray that we will find and feel you in our moments and in our days, in our work and in our play, in our sorrow and in our joy, in our sins and in our defeats. We'll see you in our hopes and our despairs, that we see you in our families and in this gathered fellowship here this day. We know, oh God, sometimes for some of us in this space, our days are long. We remember those we have raised in prayer who are struggling to figure out what's going on, struggling to share life with others. We commend to your care those we have raised aloud this day as those of silently on our hearts and our minds, those that are on our lists, that they may continue to feel and know your presence. Prayer has no limit to come from here to there. Continue to be with us as we journey this day and throughout this week, O God. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. So he taught us to pray, and so we offer that prayer to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our spiritual ancestors followed specific instructions for their offerings. A tithe belonged to God, and sacrifices were expected. Perhaps it is our casual commitment that creates doubts and desperation within and among us. What would happen if all of us were to give in proportion to what we have received with joy and deepest gratitude? The ushers may come forward.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. With praise and adoration, we enter your temple, O God. Thanksgiving spills from our lips as we approach your majesty. You are God who creates in splendor. Holy and blessed is your glorious name. With your Spirit to guide us, we shall strive to enter the narrow door, following Christ's teachings and the call to obey. Receive now these offerings, our tithes, gifts, and offerings, as signs of our commitment, of our unceasing gratitude for the gifts you bestow. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. To remind you, downstairs, Fellowship Hall, cookies and lemonade, chance to talk to Tony and Joy. Make yourselves unknown to them. He was listening to you sing, right, Tony? Were you picking the voices out? My old choir director. Okay, they all passed. There we go. So, but take time to go. I don't know. I sat next to Laura. No. Please take time to go down and meet them later. We're challenged today that we have a call. It's the faith. We talk about calls to ministry and to pastors, but it's also a call to us as Christians to follow the faith, to say, I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. We've all done that somewhere in our lives. That's why we're here. So how do we live that out? Who do we share it with? How do we invite them to come and share what we have here? Think about it. Talk to the people that you pass this day throughout this week. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.